Blog Talk Radio.
Were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here. We thank God that we're here. Just another session of truth on Blog Talk Radio. Thank God that I had a nice little vacation, and I'm glad to be back in the saddle. Amen. Ready to get to work again. So it's a blessing to be here. And we thank God for all of our listeners, our Facebook followers and friends, all of our Twitter followers and friends, our Blog Talk friends and followers, and our LinkedIn connections and followers. It's good to be here. And have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's something to really think about. So we thank God for our theme, the Godhead, knowing that God is the head of all things. There is one God. We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, people who were already saved. They had already been to the water, repented of their sins, as the message was preached on the day of Pentecost by St. Peter, the apostle, to the Jews, who was given the keys by Jesus Christ himself. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promises unto you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He testified and exhorted with many other words, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So that is the fulfillment of Joel 2 and 28. Shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared on them clothing tongues like as of fire, set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when you're born again of water, the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins was given to the apostles, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them to utter. That is the fulfillment of Joel 2 and 28, and also being born of water and of the Spirit. So we thank God for the new birth and the ongoing question you have to ask yourself. I'm asking, as Apostle Paul asked those that he met when he was passing through Corinth and finding certain disciples, and he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Because the Holy Ghost is the earnest of your inheritance. You got to be born again. This is the joy Jesus was talking about. He said, I'm dwelling with you and shall be in you. Obedient that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is what he was talking about in that last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified at that particular time. So this is the rest. Isaiah spake of it, 28:11. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. We know Israel as a whole, he goes on to say, yet they would not hear. So that is the new birth. Ain't no just believe and receive. No, when a baby is born, this is why we're going to find out even in today's lesson, if we make it that far, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, which is to say, Daddy. When a baby is born, they want him to cry. That is a sign of life. So there's no quiet Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak in another language. So somebody in the earth knows what that language is. That's why on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from every nation under heaven. They said, hereby we hear them speak in our own language wherein we were born. They went on to say, we hear them speak the wonderful works of God. So it's imperative that you be born again, that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The water being baptized in the name of Jesus and the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, that is the water, and the Spirit is the one baptism for the New Testament church. You can't just high jump over the book of Acts. We just got done going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Those are the ones Jesus chose. He gave them the word. He gave John the revelation. He gave Peter the keys, and he gave Paul the mystery. So we got to hear the apostles. John said in one of his writings, he that heareth, if you know God, you're going to hear us. So you got to hear the apostles, the ones he chosen. So salvation is in the Acts of the Apostles. So under the in the Gospels, there's only one gospel of Jesus Christ. There were four gospel writers, everyone giving their account, but they were all together. There's only one gospel, and it was revealed unto them. They knew. That's why Luke picked it up in Acts 4:12. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. So we thank God for understanding of his word. Too many people are explaining the Bible away. You can't teach, you can't preach about what you don't have, because it was for them and it is for us. This began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which is the 50th day after the Passover. He rose from the dead. He was on the earth for 40 days, went back to heaven 10 days later. Pentecost is the day that they were waiting on, when he Spirit descended upon of them. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I got it. August 11, 1976, I received it, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. I was sitting down on a pew in a little church where I received it. So this is the new birth that is imperative that you get. You're not going to just get in heaven without it. So because you got to be born again, and that is the born again experience. When the Lord comes to make his appearing, he's going to catch away the church. Everything that's like him is going to be caught away like a big giant magnet. If you don't have what's in there, you don't have the earnest of the Spirit, you are not going to be caught away in what we call the rapture of the church. So you got to be born again according to the scriptures. So today we talking about the Galatian church and St. Paul's letter to the church, to the Galatian churches, is what we are focusing on today. So we thank God that we are able to declare the word of the Lord as is said by James. We're able to look into the perfect law of liberty. So we don't want to be a forgetful doer of the work, but we want to be a doer, not a hearer only, deceiving our own selves. We want to look into the perfect law of liberty and do what is written in the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the word of the Lord. So today, our lesson is found in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul's letter, or as biblical scholars call them, epistles written to the churches at the Galatian churches. And so they say it's probably written about A.D. 60, during Paul's third visit to Corinth. The occasion of the epistle is evident that it had come to Paul's knowledge that the fickle Galatians, who were not Greeks but Gauls, a stream from the torrent of barbarians which poured into Greece in the 3rd century before Christ, had become the prey of legalizers, the Judaizing missionaries from Palestine. So the theme of the book of Galatians is the vindication of the gospel of the grace of God from the admixture of law conditions which qualify or destroy its character or pure grace. So you can't mix that. And so the Galatian era had two forms, both from which are refuted. The first is the teaching that obedience to the law is mingled with faith as a ground of the sinner's justification. The second, that the justified believer is made perfect by keeping the law, which is a lie. Paul meets the first form of the era by demonstration that justification is through the Abrahamic covenant, and that the law was 430 years after the confirmation of that covenant, and the true purpose of which was condemnation, not justification, cannot disannul salvation which rests upon the early covenant. So Paul meets the second and more subtle from the vindicating the office of the Holy Spirit as the sanctifier. So this book is in seven parts. The salutation, the theme, Paul's gospel is a revelation, justification is by faith without law, the rule of the believer's life is glorious, not legal, sanctification is through the Spirit, not the law, and exhortations and conclusion. So we want to go on today. We want to move right along. Paul, an apostle, not by men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So let me stop right there. So you got to understand God is a spirit. So God is, how big is God? He's everywhere and every place. He's an individual, omnipresent spirit, which means he's everywhere. He's omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent, which means he has all power. He made himself a body. So this is why in Luke 1 and 35, Mary was, when she received the salutation from Elizabeth, the babe leaped in her womb, and she asked her, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In other words, I haven't had relations with a man because she was a virgin. So the prophecy, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So Luke, the writer, goes on. Luke 1 and 35 says, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and come upon thee, therefore that holy thing, that's the operative word, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. So Christ is the building of God, or the tabernacle of God, or the anointed flesh of God. He came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ in that body. So that's why our theme is the Godhead, because God is the head of all things, and you will only find that word in three places in the Holy Written. That is in the book of Romans, in the book of Colossians, and in the Acts of the Apostles. The only three places you will find the term the Godhead. And simply one, God is the head of all things. Anything that has more than, ain't no Holy Trinity, that is a dirty lie is what that is. That doesn't even make sense. Anything with more than one head is a freak. God is one. And this is what he always said. I'm the Lord. There's none beside me. In the book of Isaiah, he really breaks it down. None with me, none beside me, none after me, none before me. There's none else. There's none like me. There's none with me. There's none beside me. He said, is there a God beside me, other than me? He said, I don't know of any. And he's omniscient. He knows all things. So there is not another God. But the sonship is a office. So we want you to be welcome should you desire to call today. You are very welcome. Our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Should you have a question or a comment, you are certainly welcome. Okay, so he goes on here, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the self-same one. He's just breaking down his offices. Peace from God the Father, comma, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He gave who? Himself. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So what they didn't have the New Testament scriptures in the days of the apostles, but they preached Jesus out of the law of Moses. They preached Jesus out of the prophets. They preached Jesus out of the Psalms. So we go on here. He gave himself our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he goes on here. And today, our tags, our marvel, you are so soon removed unto another gospel, which is not another. So we're going to get to that as we our next verse in reality. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another. So we know we are those that have been born again, are saved by grace. In the book of Ephesians, he writes, by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know too many times there are too many people bragging that they've been in church all their life, or their father was a preacher, their grandfather, or whoever. It matters not. It doesn't matter. The point being, you're not so special. He died for our sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. He, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. So he goes on to say, this is the condemnation that's coming to the world, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So people, you haven't believed on him, you're condemned already because you haven't believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that name is Jesus. He is the Christos. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed flesh of God. So that's why Paul said we haven't known, we don't know him after the flesh. We know him after the flesh no more. One of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord. You had to be taught personally by the Lord. He chose you. They wrote the, they laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. And so this is why we can emphatically say there are no apostles, because too many times they write, us the apostles whom he chose. Ephesians 2 and 20, we are built, talking about the church, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And many other scriptures, how they saw him. We were in the mount. We saw him, Peter, James, and John. That's three of the apostles. Saw him. Then there's only 12 apostles of the Lamb whose names are in the 12 foundations in the book of the Revelation. So it is amazing. People are coming forth today, in this day and time, calling themselves apostles. And there are no apostles today. So he goes on here. So he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that it called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So he goes on to say, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So that is a very important word, to pervert the gospel of Christ. Is that's some strong language. And we use words even today, words that change. There's a play on words. Somebody's going to give account for that too. They used to have the Flintstones used to come on. They said a yabba dabba do time. You know, we'll have, in other words, we'll have a gay old time. The gay time, that to be gay meant to be happy. So somebody took the word and made it, into this same sex thing to call people a gay and all of that. And I mean, they got all these, but that's to use. And so actually, that is, if you are not normal, as we would say, you are perverted. So to be perverted is to misdirect, lead astray, to corrupt. And so to change to an improper use, to misuse, to change or misapply the meaning of, to misinterpret, distort, or twist. So that's what it means to be perverted. So actually, a homosexual, male or female, they're not gay, they're perverted, because you're twisting the meaning of what something is. But see, the Bible talks about all of these things. We're in the last days, and these things are going to be. So he was saying, straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead it unto life, and few be there that find it, because broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in there at. So God is letting people have their way, because you yourself will decide your own judgment. So he goes on here, like he say, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So we already gave the definition of the word pervert. But he goes on here, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So that's a strong word. And he said, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. See, so sometimes, too many times, people don't want to, oh, you don't have to tell me but once and all that. No, the Bible says, we were taught to pay very close attention to repetition. And where does that start at? In Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Precept must be upon precept. And it says precept upon precept, and line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So in other words,
a rule on another rule, to establish a truth, is what it's saying. So precept has got to be upon precept. And one of the most important scriptures in the Bible, Nehemiah 8:8. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So you got to give the sense of the word, you or else you're doing violence to the scriptures. So he goes on here, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? That's two questions. So he goes on here, for if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And this is St. Paul the Apostle. He thought he was doing God service when he was persecuting the church and wasting it, giving his voice against the martyr Stephen when he was martyred in the 7th chapter of Acts. And then so in the 8th chapter he goes on, he was yet breathing out threatenings. Apostle Paul was. This man preached, so he told them about themselves and how what they had done and all. They ran and gnashed on him with their teeth. They stoned him to death. And Apostle Paul was there when that was going on. So he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, neither received it of man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So this is what he's making reference to. And so he was not back there. He was the only apostle who did not walk with Jesus doing his earthly ministry, but he still saw the Lord. One of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord, and he had to be taught personally by the Lord, and he was. He went into the Arabian desert, and the Lord taught him out of the scriptures. So this is why he was saying that gospel which I preach of me is not after man, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So in other words, education is the mind. It's earthly. It's the mind. It's not spiritual. That's why you have to be born again. You can't under the natural man. He don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discern. So that's why he went on to say, when the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So he said, you see your calling, brethren, not many wise. He didn't say not any, not many. Apostle Paul was an exception himself. He was a wise man. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble hath God called. So the base things, the things which are my, you know, the point being is he went on to let them know that no flesh should glory in his presence. So he says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So he says the weak things, the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. That's why he said, he went on, I had really put that ahead. You see your calling. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. So to the intellectual, this preaching of the cross is foolishness to the intellectual. Doesn't make sense to the natural man. But you got to believe this by faith in your spirit. So he goes on here to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Notice that now. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Other of the apostles saw I none save, or that word save means except, James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I wrote unto you before, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which cured us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorify God in me. What a testimony. So he once destroyed this faith, but God knew his heart, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is God, got his attention. So, and we can see that, and if you know about the conversion of the apostle of Paul, we call him St. Paul. It's actually three accounts. It's the same account of what happened, his actual conversion. Then he's given his testimony in the 22nd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And then in the 26th chapter, he's before Bernice and he's before Agrippa giving his testimony. So we know after the stoning of Stephen, the church was persecuted, the church was scattered, and Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel, and he preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. And so anyway, in the ninth chapter of Acts, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. See, this is what he was talking about. He was persecuting the church of God, and he was wasting it. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone a shine round about him, a light from heaven. Now, see, this is in the noon. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He said unto him, Arise and go into a city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but hearing no man. Another account, he said, they heard a voice, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. So he says they heard a voice, and seeing no man. Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man. They led him by the hand, brought him to Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise, go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. So he had heard all these things he heard. I'm just backtracking before I go forward. He's praying now. He's okay, Ananias. It's paraphrasing. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, and that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Listen to what Ananias is saying. The Lord's name is Jesus. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and for the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So remember now, this is 3 days when he finally went and saw him. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto me in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it has been scales. He received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. You better believe. He was filled with the Spirit, and he was baptized in the name of Jesus. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So he goes on here. The disciples would come to Jerusalem and say to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Talking about Paul, believed not that he was a disciple. Saul, before his name was turned into Paul. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, how he had spoken unto him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Cretans, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee, Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Came to pass, Peter passed throughout all quarters. He came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. So the church had rest after God saved this man, Paul. So he's giving his testimony. So remember now, he this is revealed unto him about Jesus. So he goes on here as he's talking to Agrippa. So he goes, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee, I beg you, hear me patiently, is what he's saying. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first mine own nation at Jerusalem, known all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which sake, hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you? He's talking to Agrippa, that God should raise the dead. A question. I barely thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, or his vote. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even under strange cities. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. You imagine, that's the time when the sun is the highest at midday. He said, I saw a light in the way from heaven above the brightness of the sun. That was mighty bright, shining around about me and them which journey with me. We were all falling to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. Remember, he said they didn't hear the voice which spake to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Rise and stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Remember, he came unto his own, and his own received them not, but as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not them that were born of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. So in other words, his earthly ministry, he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the gospel of the kingdom. They didn't receive it, so it was already prophesied that he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. Remember, first shall be last, the last shall be first. Remember, he came unto his own, they didn't receive him. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember, whosoever. So the promise is unto you, Peter preached, when he told him to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he went on to say, the promise is unto you, the Jews, to you Jews, and to all that are far off. And he said, as many as the Lord our God shall call. We are the far off, and even the many as the Lord our God shall call. So this gospel shall be preached unto all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. So it's for everybody. So we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. He writes to the church at Ephesus, in the world without God, you know. So he said, ye which are far off are made nigh, or that word nigh means near, by the blood of Christ. He broke down the middle wall of partition, so making peace to them that are far off, them that were nigh, the far off and nigh, which were near. Talking about the commonwealth of Israel. So he goes on here, these causes the Jews caught me, went about to kill me. So in other words, so he goes on here that Christ should suffer. I know this is, I've already want to bring right back up to where I was. Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. See how the devil does? No, the man was a learned man. He said to the Corinthian church when he wrote unto them, First Corinthians, the second chapter, I believe it was, he said, I, brethren, you know how I was with you in much weakness and trembling and all. He said, I don't want to know anything among you save, or the word save means accept, Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he knew, forget all the philosophical tidbit, all of the big syllable words, but just a simple gospel. So he goes on here, he told him, he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, to speak forth the words of truth and soberness. See, people don't like that. See, that word sober means sober-minded. Some people, because sometimes people are offended if you use the word you're sober. They don't understand. No, you got a sober mind. Some people are drunk on things. All they're talking about is stuff and things and full of pride and all. There's other ways to be drunk other than alcohol and all. You could be drunk on yourself, full of pride and all that. So he said, I speak forth the words of soberness, for the king knoweth of these things. He's talking about King Agrippa, before whom also I speak freely. I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. He's telling most noble Festus about Agrippa. And so he goes on to know, the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in the corner. He's talking about the cross of Christ and all what they done. It wasn't hid. They put it out there. King Agrippa, believest? Question, he answered it. I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. So that's what's going to be so sad in the day of judgment. Too many people almost, I know they almost had you. You got to yield to God. That's the apostolic doctrine. It's the apostles whom he chose. So you read through history. The church, the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost is the 50th day of the Passover. Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is a day. Ain't no such thing as a Pentecostal. I mean, we know what you mean when you say you had the Pentecostal experience. That means you received the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. But Pentecost is a day. Is not a day. It's not a religion. It's not a denomination. It's a day. So he goes on here, and Paul said, "I would to God," because he was saying, "Almost you persuaded me to be a Christian." So he goes on here. Paul said, "I would to God, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and are together such as I am, except these bonds." In other words, y'all got me bound. I don't want you to be like this, but man, I got it. I got the truth. This is why he said in the book of Philippians when he wrote to the church at Philippi, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He was saying he was betrayed. In other words, he was in a predicament. We would say a catch-22. He wanted to go with be with Christ, which is far better, but I got to live. I got to help y'all to be saved because of who he was. And in the 11th chapter of Romans, he was saying, "As much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles," he's the last apostle, he said, "I magnify my office." So he was saying how he labored more abundantly in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter than all the other apostles, all that he did. But he said, "Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." So we're going on. I almost lost my place here. So here in Galatians, we're still in the first chapter. "So yeah, went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me," he said, "but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So, I did this. I think I did go through all of this. But anyway, so the whole point is they had to make sure that they had the same thing. So this is why he was saying, he wrote to the church, a Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, "I beseech thee, brethren, that you all speak the same things, that you be of the same mind and of the same judgment, that there be no divisions." So in other words, everybody's saying the same thing. They're of the same mind and of the same judgment, because that's exactly what he did. He made sure that he had the same things that they had. So they had heard only, "He which persecuted us in times past preaches the faith which he once destroyed." So know that he was a persecutor and all the things that he did. And so, and when he wrote his letter to Timothy, he said, who before was a blasphemer and all these things. Then he said, "I did it ignorantly in unbelief," is what he wrote to Timothy, his son, in the gospel. "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." He's talking about to the Jews there. "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person, For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrivised when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision, that is, which was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. So in other words, the uncircumcision is the Gentiles. The circumcision is the Jews. That was committed to Peter. The uncircumcision was committed to Paul, to Apostle Paul, as he was the gospel, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. So he said, he that wrought effectually in me, and effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward, there it is, the Gentiles. That's the uncircumcision. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they to the circumcision. See, so that's the Gentiles also, called the heathen, or the Gentiles, or the uncircumcision. Those are biblical terms. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with them. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. So in other words, he didn't want to do it in front of them, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So he feared the Jews, and the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? A question. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? It's a question he's asking. God forbid. For if I build again the things which I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he goes on here, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in faith. Now remember, he wrote to the church at Rome, he said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, he goes on to say, we glory in tribulations. I believe this is in the fifth chapter of Romans. We have access unto this faith, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, hope naked not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But remember now, the subject we're talking about, we're talking about the law, what the law couldn't do because it was weak through the flesh. So this, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. So there it is right there. The law was weak through the flesh. So he says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Here's the answer, verse 4, Romans 8 and 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this is what had to be done. The righteousness of the law had to be fulfilled. He goes on to say, to be carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead. Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That word quicken means be made alive. Your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, in another place he says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of your son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's the same thing. So the Spirit itself bear witness that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. So the point being, you got to be born again. There's no getting around it. You're not going to understand, and you're not going to go to heaven if you have not been born again. So we thank you, and our ongoing question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry 5525 at att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The subject is God. We know he was in the of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, eat on this question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?